Chapter 7. After Michael had walked away, Tom started to review his notes. He soon realized that there was a constant thought running through his mind. He could finally glimpse what it might be like to be successful, and the germ of an idea had planted itself in his brain and was running riot. He kept returning to it, testing it, and looking at it from all the angles. Could this really be the business idea he'd been waiting for? He looked again at the mountain Michael had drawn in his notebook and imagined what it would be like to be standing on the pinnacle of success and what the view from the top would be like. He was vaguely aware of the other passengers around him. The woman across the aisle had long ago finished painting her nails and was now flicking through a weighty cream leather folder filled with brochures and what looked like sales material for conferences. Tom wondered if she could see the difference in him. He certainly felt different, and couldn't imagine that he didn't look different too. He'd got on the plane feeling anxious and preoccupied. Now he was feeling energized, and yet somehow more relaxed. The thought that had been chasing round his head suddenly became loud and clear, and he knew he had to write it down before it escaped him. It wasn't more than a sentence or two, but using Michael's terminology that he was now feeling more familiar with, he recognized that it was truly a seed of opportunity. He hardly looked up when Michael came back down the aisle at a leisurely pace, stopping to speak to a man several seats away before making his way back. He saw Tom was deep in thought, and instead of sitting down, he carried on into the galley where his deep voice could be heard talking to Olivia. Tom looked again at what he had written, and then became conscious of Michael heading back to his seat. He straightened up and got his thoughts together. "You look totally preoccupied there. What was it you were so involved in?" Michael made himself comfortable, and Tom wondered whether to tell him how enthusiastic and energized he felt, and that he'd had the inkling of a business idea. He hesitated, and realized he didn't want to share the idea until he'd had a bit more time to think about it. But he didn't want to lie to Michael either. "I think I've got a possible business idea, but if you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about it just yet. I want to think about it a bit longer." Michael nodded approvingly. "No problem. But if you've had a great idea, then it's definitely time I shared the last principle of I believe with you." Tom was delighted to hear that. It was just what he wanted. In fact, it was perfect. He held up his notebook and pen to show that he was all ready to go. "Okay, so we've got to the final E of I believe. And it's the one I think most people fail to realize is equally as important to success as any of the others." Tom was keen to contribute. "Let me have one final try at guessing what it is. I might be luckier this time." "Well, you're already showing persistence," laughed Michael, "so go ahead." He leaned back as Tom thought over what was left that made a successful entrepreneur. The first E was about extending your comfort zone. The second E was enjoy hard work. So I'm guessing that the last E is for energy, enthusiasm, exceptional. Am I close? Michael laughed out loud at the concentration on Tom's face. He obviously wanted to get this final one right. "Yes, all those are great qualities, though not the one you'll need for the final principle of I believe. Do you remember when I talked a while ago about my sports business?" Tom nodded and wondered what was coming this time. He was now used to the way Michael's mind moved from subject to subject, and instead of disconcerting him, it intrigued him to follow where his thoughts were going. The final E was a lesson I learned quite early on, and that was to expect failure. I used to read a lot in those days, in fact everything I could get my hands on, and there was a quote that really stuck with me. It was from a politician, and he said that success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm. In fact, I'd go further and say that you need to view failure as an integral part of your overall success. Tom was beginning to feel confused. He was absolutely fired up to hear the last secret to being a successful entrepreneur, and here was Michael talking about failure. Well, he knew to go with it because everything else Michael had talked about made sense. There must be something he just wasn't seeing. I don't understand how failure is necessary to success. I can see that no one is successful all the time, but you said that it was an integral part of it. How does that work? Michael thought for a moment of how to really make this last principle of I believe as clear and as explicit as he could. He looked out of the plane window. Outside there was nothing to see but a huge expanse of white cloud. That blank canvas helped him focus his thoughts on what he knew for most people was a topic to be avoided at all costs. When I had a chain of sports shops, I was looking around for another business venture, and one of the things that really attracted me was the idea of a specialist magazine devoted to running. Now, running is truly my passion, and has been since I was a boy. It's what got me started in business in the first place. When I looked at the market, there didn't seem to be a magazine that filled that gap, so I decided this would be a great opportunity to combine business with pleasure. I researched it, got all the right people on board to write the articles, take the photographs, and sell the advertising. Writers with specialist knowledge, who were as keen as I was to see a magazine devoted just to runners. All the omens were good. I'd checked it out, and yet within a year it was obvious that it was a failure, and I had to pull the plug on it. Tom was intrigued. He'd somehow thought that everything Michael touched turned to gold, and this was a new side of him that he was seeing. He hoped Michael wouldn't be offended, but he really wanted to know more about it. You seem very calm about it for something that was so close to your heart. Sure, I'm calm now, though at the time I was very upset because I'd lost a lot of money. Also, it was the very first time I'd failed at a major business venture. And maybe my pride was hurt a bit too. But it turned out to be a true blessing in disguise. It's just not always obvious to you at the time, but failure is one of your greatest teachers. You have to learn from it and make sure you don't make that mistake again. Failure is how you gain experience in ways you wouldn't otherwise have access to. Look, we all make wrong decisions at some time or other, but it's essential that you treat it as a learning experience. And the wisdom you get from that mistake or failure will help you to be even more successful in the future. Michael was very sincere. Tom could hear it in his voice, and he thought deeper about what he was saying as he listened to Michael elaborating on the lesson he wanted him to learn. What I really want you to get from my example of that failed magazine is that it's essential for any successful entrepreneur to be prepared to fail, to expect failure as part and parcel of your business. As I said, you learn more from failure than from success. Failure creates wisdom. And believe me, in my book, it's not the person who fails that's the problem. I believe that it's those people who never get started on their dreams who are the real failures. Tom was absorbed in this, and it went against most of what he'd been taught to believe. At school, at work, at home, in all those places, his experience was that failure was something shameful, to be quickly buried and not mentioned ever again. He'd never come across it being given such a positive spin before, and he was having trouble adjusting to the idea. He wanted to share this with Michael to see if he could get it straight in his head. I have a couple of thoughts about failure, and they're nothing like the ones you're talking about. It's always been something to be afraid of and to avoid mentioning, certainly around my peers. They only want to hear about success. Michael considered this before replying in a confident, firm voice. That's the employee mindset talking again. When you know someone else is holding you accountable for every mistake, like your boss or your employer, then you don't want to be seen failing. When you have the millionaire mindset, you realize that out of every failure an equal and powerful seed of opportunity comes, if you're willing to look for it. And those opportunities are a chance for even greater success. No successful entrepreneur has got where they are without a considerable number of failures. It's what they learn from. In fact, you could argue that if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. What? Tom was startled and amused. Trying hard to fail? That's certainly a novel idea. No, not trying hard to fail. Just trying, over and over again. You remember about being very, very persistent? You're not going to have a 100% success rate, so you need to accept that as part of the game and use what you learn to move on. Look, entrepreneurs don't always have all the answers they need as they run their businesses. In fact, they often make it up as they go along. They even get it wrong sometimes, but they keep on trying. After each failure, you will know more, plan better, and avoid the same mistakes. Do you see what I'm getting at? Tom was writing so fast, he thought he didn't even want to pause to agree, so he just nodded and carried on writing. Michael watched him and waited until he'd finished. What I'm saying is that failure is not the problem. It's how you deal with it that matters. That's what I meant with that quote I gave you just a few minutes ago. Success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm. So you can see exactly why it's essential that you stay optimistic and positive, because in business, what can go wrong will go wrong. It's up to you whether you see that cup as half full or half empty, but whichever you choose will make a difference to the outcome. You learn to deal with it and move on, and you can't afford to sit around worrying about it or what the consequences might be. You could end up not taking any action at all, and that could be disastrous. Tom could see what Michael was getting at, though the remark about consequences had him thinking. He felt it was time to get some more clarification, to be sure he was on the right track. "I feel a bit uncomfortable with the idea of not being concerned about the consequences of decisions. Shouldn't you care about the outcome?" Michael looked a bit surprised at this, but could see that there had been a genuine misunderstanding. "No, I'm not saying you don't care about the consequences at all. Yes, you do need to think them through carefully. But what I'm saying is that you can't worry about them and let that prevent you making a decision and moving on. That's just you protecting your business, and to do that, you might have to take a risk. Your job is to deal with problems so that whatever the business needs, you put that first as your top priority. Sometimes that means taking a risk, and you're not always going to know what the outcome might be. But in some situations, taking a risk can be the most sensible response to a problem." Tom now found he had another concept to get his head around. The idea that risk was sensible was certainly not one he'd come across before, and he felt it needed a bit more explanation. He could hear the stewardesses loading up the duty-free trolley, and the chink of bottles and rustle of cartons made him speak quickly to get an answer before they were interrupted. "I'm not sure I understand how a risk can be sensible. Surely the very nature of risk is the direct opposite of that." Michael listened, but it was clear he didn't agree. "I can see why you may think that, but risk for me is all about judgment, and judgment comes from wisdom. We just talked about how you get wisdom from your failures, and that experience and knowledge helps you calculate what the actual risk is. That's what successful entrepreneurs are doing every day. And although to those outside the business it might look like they're taking huge risks, to those on the inside, who know what those decisions are based on, they see only that it's a calculated risk. Once you bring your experience and judgment into the calculation, you have minimized that risk." Michael leaned back and seemed to be searching for something else to help Tom really get it. "Let me give you an example. Like I said, all my life I've been a runner, first as a sprinter, then middle distance, and now marathons. Now you might say that for a man of my age to be running a marathon is a risk. I might not stay the course. I could get cramp, push my heart rate too high, and possibly have a heart attack or collapse. Now all of those are risks. The fact is, because I've been running since my teens, I'm very fit, and I know the limitations of my body. Over the years, I've adjusted to my age and ability, and I know I can run a marathon. I've calculated the risk, and it's an acceptable one. Now my goal is to finish that marathon. Once it would have been to win it, but if I tried to do that now, then that would be an unacceptable risk. It would be pushing my body beyond its limits. That's the sum of the wisdom and experience I've gained from running other marathons, and that enables me to calculate the risk. Some people still might say that it's too risky, but I don't. Now do you get it?" Tom was thinking this through, and he realized that for Michael, risk meant something entirely different. Now he could see it in a more positive light, but just how it was connected to the idea of failure, he wasn't entirely sure. He realized he'd been doodling on his notepad while Michael was speaking, and that he'd put the words risk and failure in two separate bubbles, with arrows between them and a large question mark over them. So, for you, risk and failure are related in some way? Michael thought about it for a moment. You know the old saying that risk brings its own reward? Tom nodded, and Michael continued. Well, I definitely see a connection between risk and failure. We've seen that you need judgment to take risks, and you learn judgment from your failures, because that's how you get vital information for the future. You could even say that the more failures you have, the better your judgment, providing you learn the lessons from it. With better judgment, you can take bigger risks and get those bigger rewards. So, failure isn't such a bad thing after all, is it? Now Tom got it, and he really liked the idea. He'd never really thought about it before, but as Michael had talked about failure, he thought back again to his father and how he was always afraid to take a risk. He had once tried to run a small business that had started out as a favourite hobby, but it had failed within a few months. He'd never talked about it or how he felt about going back to his old job. Growing up, Tom had realised it was a no-go area, that no one in the family mentioned it, and it had coloured his father's whole attitude to life. He had certainly always seen the cup as half empty, and with that realisation, what Michael said made perfect sense. I've seen what happens when someone just accepts failure and doesn't try again. It's always seemed like such a huge thing to be overcome, but you are making failure seem almost ordinary. Michael heard something in Tom's voice that made him pause. He'd struck a chord, and he wanted to help Tom look at failure as something positive, not anything to be ashamed of. Maybe it's the word failure that's the problem. There's so much emotional baggage around it. And you can feel shame, anger, grief, blame, or a host of other things. What I suggest is you try thinking of it not as failure, which is something huge and can be very scary, but as a mistake, which is ordinary and everyday. Every one of us makes mistakes, and we accept them, pay for them if necessary, and move on. If you know anyone who's never made a mistake, then let me know, because I've certainly never met one. Tom smiled slightly. A mistake certainly doesn't sound as threatening as failure, I must admit. Exactly. If you've made a mistake, you write it off to experience, cut the ties, and don't waste any more time on it. Learn the lesson and take action to bring it to a close, rather than let things fester without taking action. This is important, Tom. Action to bring mistakes to a close is essential. Don't be in any doubt about it. Being a successful entrepreneur carries a significant degree of stress, worry, and pressure, perhaps considerably more than being an employee. When you work for someone else, you can always leave and get another job. If it's your own business, then it's up to you to make sure that the business survives, come what may. You may not be able to walk away from it without losing everything you own. That is stressful, and you minimize that by being in control of all the elements involved, at least as much as you can. The more you're in control, the less room there is for things to go wrong, and so less need to feel worried or pressured. Take the advice from a man who knows all about pressure. The way to deal with it is to make fast decisions and take immediate action. Even if the decisions are wrong, suggested Tom. I'm sure more will be right than wrong. As I just said, we all make mistakes, but it's how you deal with them that makes the difference. Satisfied, Tom leaned back in his seat. He now had the 8 principles of I Believe. All he had to do was put them into practice. He smiled at Michael as he started writing up his notes and felt he just had to say thank you. Michael, you've been really generous sharing these secrets with me. I'm so grateful to you. Thanks a lot. Michael smiled back. No problem. I really hope you achieve the success you're looking for. Tom concentrated on writing his notes, but jumped slightly when he felt Michael lightly touch his arm to get his attention. Oh, and by the way, that isn't quite the end. There's an extra secret you need to really make it all happen. But that can wait just a while longer. Delighted with the disconcerted look on Tom's face, Michael glanced over as he heard Olivia approaching with the duty-free trolley. He reached into his inside jacket pocket to get his wallet, as Tom got down to finishing his notes. Tom's notes. E. Expect failure. You must expect failure as part of your journey of success. Failure and success go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Wisdom and judgment come from failure. You learn more from failure than success. Failure is a great teacher. With wisdom and judgment, you can take larger calculated risks, which is essential to great success. Be prepared to fail. Those who fail to start are the real failures. Failure can always be turned into a positive. Make sure you look for the new seeds of opportunity that come from it. Failure is a strong word with negative connotations. In reality, you will have made a series of mistakes. Learn from those mistakes and do not make them again. If you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough.